Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Luckily, I'm an ugly man, so the fact this microphone is right in my face does not matter at all. Welcome to Pitches for Revolution 2024. It's the show where myself, Andrew Dingle, and Frazier Poitier will come to the table with three ideas each about what we want to see happen on this pay-per-view at the weekend. But remember the crucial rule, everybody, as I've just said there before saying it,
yep.
It's not what we think's going to happen,
it's what we want to happen!
Yeah, I broke the microphone stand, so we're having to do with this one here. Apologies if you do like me face. I don't know who I'm saying that to, but there we go. Fraser, you kick us off with your first pitch of three.
Okay, no pressure then. To start off, I'm going to go with something involving Sting and Darby Allin. So I have it that the Young Bucks beat Sting and Darby in the retirement match.
It's a no from me.
It's a no, okay. Well, following the match, an emotional Sting sits in the center of the ring. You know, the crowd is chanting, thank you, Sting, doing the whole, he's bowing out. It's his last time he gets his end sort of speech in front of the crowd. He takes the mic to address the crowd. He says that Darby's going to be one of the greatest AEW stars of all time. And he concludes, you know, he's had a pretty good run himself. At this point, the roster come out to stand on the stage and to sort of clap him and let him do a wee bow. He then rounds out the promo saying that he's coming home to his family. Darby raises his arm, but Sting hits him with a scorpion death drop. He then whaps out some face paint and does the Joker face paint on his face like he did back in TNA. And then he says, maybe Sting might be retired, but Stung is only just beginning. And then he floats up to the rafters and then he sort of stalks Darby for the next few months. And Sting isn't, Sting is retired, but Stung is only beginning.
If you stopped talking...
Yes.
Before you said the word stung. It's a yes. Everything that came after the word stung, you can go to hell.
Okay. No, you're not about the floating up to the rafters?
No.
I mean, that was...
He's not on strings or anything. He's just
himself. Yeah. My favourite part was where you said stung is only just begunning.
Yeah.
As sort of Ross just said there, I was really on board with everything up until perhaps the stung
part. Stung.
Because, do you know what? Part of me thinks... with all the stuff that's happening with Ric Flair and also the fact that when this whole sort of rivalry got off the ground and Sting being like, yes, I'm all in, kind of makes me think that it might extend to all in being like his final show. Although where it's happening in Greensboro would be a nice way to close it all as well with sort of the match that he had with Flair and that. So it's an on the fence for me because it was really good to that point.
It's a wonderful cheesecake. You've got a lovely buttery biscuit base.
Nice.
The bit on top of the buttery biscuit base is there. But then for some reason, you've put a massive stinking turd on the top of that.
Hey, I wanted to keep the honourable Sting has retired.
Fair.
Stung's
here. Yes, Stung is here instead.
Yeah.
It's just unnecessary.
It is. That's what I want to happen.
Fair enough, Fraser.
Wow.
You're a weird guy. Andrew!
Oh!
Here we go.
Moving away from Sting and going over to some meaty madness, everybody. Now, we don't know who's going to be in this meat madness match yet, other than three people. We've got Lance Archer, we've got Wardlow, and we've got Powerhouse Hobbs. But, right, let's just say it's a big hoss battle royale, and to fill it out, we're going to go with Miro, Brody King, Tomohiro Ishii, yeah. The Butcher, Dutch from The Righteous, Jake Hager, Toa Leona, we've got John Silver, the meat man himself, and the meatiest of all the men, Danhausen, right? He can be wearing a little paper hot dog hat, maybe even push a cart to stay on
paper what, sorry?
A little paper hot dog hat. You know, what? Like whether
like the
things...
dispensary.
You dare bastardize the concept that is the Meat Madness match.
Well, we're going to get there, right? So the bell rings and you got 12 big, burly, blooming boys all colliding like hams in a tumble dryer. Absolutely. Danhausen obviously goes out first, though, with his attempted curse on the spooky Dutch amounting to absolutely naff all. John Silver soon follows, as does the Butcher, Dutch, Leona, Ishii, Hager, and Lance Archer. So now we're down to the final four. You've got Miro, Brody King, Hobbs, and Wardlow. Miro and King have a stiff fight, with King eliminating Miro and causing him a further crisis of faith. And then you can get a nice little Miro and House of Black feud there, which I'd quite like that. You get that little bit there for free, right?
Yeah.
So it comes down 2-3, and it's just a big game of man conquers right now, right? With the crowd screaming about meat and chops and applesauce and other stuff. I don't really know. I'm vegan, so I don't know what people chant these days. So King and Hobbs end up teeing off whilst Wardlow is down, but Wardlow rises to his feet. He shakes with anger and he eliminates both men at the same time. And as his music plays, Wardlow looks down the camera and says to those at home, "I told you this means war," like in his theme song. So later in the night, we get the AEW World Championship match between Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Hangman Adam Page. Now, after an absolute clinic, Swerve hits the JML driver on Hangman and goes for the pin. But Joe crushes both men with a chair, throws Swerve out, and steals the pin on Hangman Page. There's no DQ in a three-way after all, is there, eh? So you got Joe celebrating in the ring, and that's when Wardlow's music hits, and Big Mike himself comes out with a face like a smacked bum bum. He walks down the ramp, and he shoulders Swerve out the way because he's dead sad, you know? Both men feel like they deserve the title after all. Then he gets into the ring, and he grabs a mic, and he says, "Bet you thought I wasn't coming for you, eh? Bet you thought Adam Cole was on something when he said I was coming for my championship. Well, I don't care if you and the management think I'm a joke, Joe, because when we get in that ring, the fans may chant, 'Joey's going to kill you,' but mark my words, I am going to kill you and take what is rightfully mine." Joe slowly nods at Wardlow as Swerve looks on from the ramp. Now, so I've got little things here, right?
I was going to say, because you've cast aside the main characters.
Well, this is the thing. So we got a nice couple of feuds, I thought, here. So Wardlow carries on his momentum after his promo was phenomenal last week. Mm-hmm. I thought it was super, super good. And then you've still got the Adam Cole title switch teasing as well there. This can also set up for Wardlow versus Joe and Wardlow versus Swerve too, maybe. Perhaps another three-way, maybe. I don't know. I'm not too sure. Plus, Swerve being cheated out of the win then also just builds him up further to finally, hopefully, do it down the line too.
Mm. That's quite a good way to get Wardlow back as a big threat. Because he's sort of, I like you said, that promo last week was really, really strong and sort of re-established him. But I think this would be a really good way to do that with actual in-ring stuff, especially when in going through a meat madness match, whatever that is going to be. I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Oh, thank you.
I'll give it a yes.
Yeah, I know it's very plain and on the nose.
It's a long game, though, isn't it?
It is.
A long
game. That's what it is.
Can't have everything all at once, can we?
No, we can't. Can we? And I want Wardlow to do it.
So do I.
I genuinely
do. That promo could have been cut at any point over the past 2 years, and I'm glad it happened finally.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope they
very, very good.
Carry it on with good things.
Yeah.
Go on then, Ross.
Right, I'm going to go for the main event title match. I guess, no, not the title match, not the main event. I guess Sting's in the main event, isn't he? A few notes before we get into this pitch. Hangman doesn't want Swerve to be champion. If he can't be champion, he just doesn't want Swerve to be champion. That's been his mantra over the last little while. Swerve needs to beat Hangman to prove on his own, beat Hangman on his own to prove that he is better than Hangman. He came close to it in the time limit draw, and he didn't quite get the job done. And since then, Hangman hasn't let him forget that. Hangman's fine. He escaped without losing. So I've made a pitch for the end of the title match. It'll come about after Swerve has failed after several near falls on Hangman. Ooh, it's revolutionary stuff, wouldn't you say? With Hangman just about hanging on. I want to see Samoa Joe battering the pair of Swerve and Hangman because he's fed up of being in the middle of their bollocks, and their bollocks is getting in the way of those two lads who aren't the champion doing good things in this match because they're obsessed with each other. Crucially, though, I would like to see Swerve get a steel chair and Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 17 Hangman Adam Page because he's that desperate to beat him. 15 odd chair shots into this beating. Sorry, Hangman. You can take it. You're a big, strong boy. Samoa Joe, who's been knocked out and on the periphery for a little while there, he hops back in the ring and locks on a shoot coquina clutch out of nowhere. What?
A shoot one.
I just love it every time you shoot Kakina Clutch.
Out of nowhere. Ba-da!
Yeah.
With the noise effect as well, the sound effect as well. Eventually, Swerve passes out. The heartbreak for Swerve not getting the job done. Hangman is brown bread because of the beating at the hands of Swerve. And Joe saw his moment and escaped as champion. I'm pitching this to happen because I'd like to see a heel Hangman coming out of this match. Mm. Good and proper, because he's been sort of flirting with being heel without going all the way. I think a beating, like a drubbing like this, will bring out the full heel in Hangman. He can go on to challenge Joe for the title at Double or Nothing, where Hangman will win. Then eventually Swerve, who went to the dark side in this pitch here by, you know, laying down the chair shots, goes on some sort of like redemption arc where he's like, I need to be a good boy, because he's a he is a baby face, but he went to the dark side there, it didn't work, so he goes on a long journey back to the title match, and then it all in at Wembley, the second one in August. I want Swerve versus Hangman for the title. It's the long game once again. Hangman, I see, as being like a sort of Drew McIntyre heel
coming out with this pitch,
because he's justified heel. He stops Swerve winning the title if he can't be the champion. That's all that matters to him. So yeah, that's me long game pitch for the ending of that match.
I bloody love that, mate.
Cheers, Andrew.
I think that's really, really good. And also, I know you said sort of Swerve goes on this redemption, right? But if he's getting just like caught in the Coquina clutch, what is out of nowhere, I feel like that's already it, because it has just then been stolen from him. Yeah. I say stolen from him, but...
Just needs to be a bit more squeaky clean.
Yeah,
still
a little
bit. Still be a bad ass, but just not like the one that uses a chair as much as he did.
But he feels like it's getting that way, innit? I like the idea of the roles reversing with Hangman and Swerve. And that at All In would be phenomenal.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so at this point. Absolutely. So it's a yes from me. Cheers. That's delicious.
It was one of the hardest matches for me to predict for Revolution. And that, I think, makes everyone come out of it looking stronger and means that Joe's not just a transitional champion right now. I totally agree that Hangman and Swerve need to have that flip dynamic, especially going to Wembley. Swerve will be the biggest pop of the night.
Oh, imagine the this year when he comes out.
Oh, it'll be throwing all the shit.
Goodness me.
That's a yes from me as well.
Thank you, Fraser. Round one of pitch is done.
Ding, ding, ding.
We should call ourselves Be Pitched.
Like the show Bewitched.
Or the band Bewitched.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is the band, or is there a show?
There's a show Bewitched.
There's a show,
well.
There is a show as well.
There's a band.
They're not intertwined, are they?
No. I think Bewitched is about witches, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And the other Bewitched is just some lovely Irish people who...
Yeah.
Some people say I look like me father. Fraser, round two, kick us off.
Right, I'm going with some meat madness, mayhem, whatever you want to call it. Wardlow and Hobbs and Archer obviously make their way to the ring, thinking this is just a regular triple threat, meat-filled match, because I've not included any other competitors. It's just a straight-up triple threat, or so they think. Tony Khan takes the stage and reveals that this is a literal meat madness match in where they will have to be eating the most amount of meat to win.
Oh, my goodness, Fraser.
He introduces the special guest referee, Adam Richman, from Man vs. Food fame.
Oh, wow, nice.
The special guest commentator, Guy Fieri. Piles of meat are then ushered to the ring, and each man is forced to eat as much meat as they simply can before they pass out. A solid back and forth contest ensues, but Wardlow takes the lead and begins to leave the pack behind because he's, well, have you seen the size of him?
He's got water on the side. You
exactly.
Know what I mean? He's dipping his hot dog buns and that in water. What a guy.
Well, Archer taps out after about five mountains of meat, so he's eliminated, but Hobbs.
Interesting
booking
decision, that one, Fraser.
Right, yeah. Well, I was thinking five is. You wait till you see the mountains. They're like literal mountains. Hobbs at seven. But Wardlow, not to be outdone, is still eating and gets to his 10th pile of meat when Tony Khan comes to the stage once again. Now that you're nice and warmed up, Wardlow, the match will now finally begin. And out comes former WCW and WWE wrestler Sean Stasiak, also known as Meat, who then lifts up Wardlow, who's now bloated and in a meat coma, and powerbombs onto the prone Archer and Hobbs, and then pins both men, or all men, to celebrate as a Meat is All Elite graphic pops up on the screen.
Wow.
So I'm pitching Meat. It comes out of this as the winner.
It's an interesting tactic for the pitches video, because you've not just gone with one silly one.
No, I've gone.
You've gone two silly.
Yeah.
With the potential of a third silly to come.
Possibly. We'll see. Oh, we'll see how this goes.
You are a brave man.
I know.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's a competition I would like to see happen.
I want to see a meat eating contest.
But I don't know if it's a thing I want to see on Revolution. Maybe a YouTube special.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you...
I'll take that.
One of them.
I'll take that, yep.
I think I'm also going to do that. I want, for the sole reason that I want to see Sean Stasiak get Wardlow up after Wardlow is full of meat. Full on bloated.
He'd weigh about 3 bills
full of meat. He would, yeah.
That's so, 10 mountains.
Ten mountains worth of meat.
Of meat.
You can't go wrong with
unspecified meat, but...
What kind of
it's like that guy on TikTok at the moment that's eating raw chicken every day. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
What?
So like that's hypothetically what they're eating.
It's not the liver king. It's just I think he's a normalish looking guy. Isn't
yeah, he's
he?
Doing like, it not... until he gets a tummy ache.
Is that the dude who's got the big beard? And
that's
like,
the liver king.
That's liver king.
Who got outed as a fraud.
Yeah.
But he does actually eat like lamb's testicles and whatnot, doesn't he?
There's a guy on TikTok that's eating raw chicken every single day till he gets a tummy ache.
I hate TikTok, me.
I wish I had a belly like that. I had one pack of Tesco chicken and I was done for a month.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Andrew, get us back on track, please.
Okay. So, Will Ospreay is officially all elite and gets a hero's welcome when he makes his way to the ring for his official in-ring debut against Konosuke Takeshita. So despite being a heel, the fans shower Ospreay with chants and praise. And with this being a heel versus heel match, Ospreay obviously works more like a face in this one. He's hitting all the big hitters and twisty maneuvers. The two put on an exhibition, but Ospreay starts grinning, knowing that he has the better of his teammate, as Takeshita gets visibly more frustrated. The two start laying into one another a bit harder with each passing flurry, with Takeshita becoming more determined to win. Ooh, that naughty boy. Obviously, we can't avoid the elephant in the room, however, that is Don Callis. And the sockless, disgusting man watches on at ringside, his face showing signs of concern. Suddenly, Takeshita finds an opening with a jumping knee, then picks Ospreay up and hits a ripcord jumping knee, a bit like a rainmaker, but with the leg. Ooh, yes, delicious. 1-2 kick out as the crowd just completely, they become unglued at this point, and Takeshita looks absolutely fuming. But with anger, as Yoda said, comes mistakes. And this gives Ospreay enough of an opening to fight back into the match. Ospreay is on his game. He avoids all manner of strikes thrown by Takeshita whilst peppering him with quick kicks and jabs. Ooh. Pepper. Yeah. There's lots of like seasoning and meat and all sorts. Yeah, there is.
You know, that was my impression. That was
seasoning.
Oh, that's a good twist. Suddenly he gets him set up for the Tiger Driver, but his back body dropped out of it by Takeshita. Now Ospreay lands on his feet though, bounces off the ropes, and he hits a hidden blade as Takeshita regroups. 1-2 kick out though. Takeshita kicks out of the hidden blade, you mental man. Ospreay is in the groove and realizes he needs to take off his elbow pad to hit a second hidden blade to get the win. But as he takes the pad off, Callis at ringside asks Ospreay to, "Hey, just take it easy on my star pupil, Takeshita, please." Ospreay frowns and shouts, "Nah, what are you doing, bruv?" Oh, in a London accent.
Good.
How do you do it?
What are you doing, bruv?
Hey, bruv.
Are you having a draft?
Hey, shut me down, bruv.
I'll take you up the apples and pears and Roger your...
I don't know.
No. That's exactly what he says as Callis jumps onto the apron. Now the ref comes over to tell Callis to get the flipping heck away from all this action, allowing Takeshita to wallop Ospreay in the Williams and then hit the Northern Lights bomb for the 1-2-3. Now Callis gets into the ring, and he and Takeshita help Ospreay up. And a cockily grinning Takeshita extends his hand sort of half-heartedly. Ospreay looks fuming in the crowd. He'll, "Don't check it, you dafty. He's bloody horrible, him." But Ospreay concedes and shakes Takeshita's hand anyway. As the three make their way to the back, Callis looks at Takeshita and he gives a little old winky. A little old
But what does it mean?
A little old winky. So we get a big win for Takeshita, obviously. Ospreay swindled out of a win there. And an easy way to transition Ospreay into being a babyface too, because I feel like there's no way he's going to get booed coming into AEW, at least for a little while anyway. Now, I said Ospreay can take a loss and it'll be fine. Then he can rack him up, leading to a world title shot at All In.
Ooh. That's my big fear for my pitch, is the fact that Will is being brought in. He's featured heavily on all the promotional material, so he's going to have a featured match at Wembley.
Yeah.
Will it be the title one?
I'm thinking Okada him. But...
Oh!
But I like that pitch. I thought... I'm giving it in the middle though, because I don't think I disagree. I don't think he should be losing, but he does need to get away from the Don Callis family as soon as possible upon arriving in AEW. And I think that would be a good way to do it and have a little bit of tension sowed. But I would have, if he's going to lose, I'd have the full turn just be on his first night so that he kickstarts being on Dynamite as this ultra babyface.
As it's a yes for me under those circumstances there that you've presented, Andrew.
Yeah.
Because this is Takeshita. He's beaten Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, right?
Several times.
This is it.
But they've never really capitalized on that momentum that you would get from beating someone like Kenny Omega several times.
It's been weird, hasn't it?
So when you remember, he's pinned Kenny Omega several times. I think it's a fine loss for Ospreay to take with the outside interference and whatnot, and that leads into a natural storyline that takes us forward for many months. So it's a yas from me.
I'm excited to see what happens when, obviously, Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis comes back as well, and to see the dynamic there, maybe Callis trying to like keep them on side, but then you get a Callis family.
Do you reckon
versus...
he'll want Mark? Don?
Maybe not at this point.
Just seems infatuated with Kyle. Mark's been forgotten about.
He has a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah. Make him a meat man.
Make him a meat. That's a good show.
Meat
make
man.
Him a
meat...
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Man.
Right, I'm going to Sting and Darby, who of course are taking on the Young Bucks at the weekend. Before the bell, Sting lays out Ric Flair, who is accompanying the Bucks at ringside with a couple of stiff chair shots, because this is Ric Flair, and if there's anything we can learn from Sting's career, it's that Sting should never, ever trust Ric Flair. Nor should anyone in life, really, but that's besides the point. It's a brilliant match, because that's what the Young Bucks do, and I think that's why Sting has picked them for his last match, because he wanted to have a banger as his last match, and the Bucks are going to give him that, because they are good. Although they are arseholes. Good arseholes. Surprisingly, after more near falls than a Johnny Gargano trip down some slippery stairs, Sting pins Matt Jackson to win the match. For him and Darby, the shock, the glee, the Bucks are not the champions. Yippee. There's confetti falling. Darby's getting emotional. Sting's emotional. Sting's sons are in the ring. It's everything you're expecting from this part of the show, apart from the fact that Sting and Darby are still the AEW Tag Team Champions, even though now one half of the team is officially going to retire. Sting sits down in the corner of the ring and starts untying his boots, and he places them in the middle of the ring and cuts a promo speaking about his career and his sacrifices. He lays it on thick with two C's, baby, when talking about passing the torch to Darby, friendship they've shared. It's just been a bloody nice lad, is the Stinger. Darby takes the mic and says, Sting, I've done a U here.
Go on.
Thank you. I didn't just get to meet my hero. I got to find out he's a hero worth having. It was an honor, truly. It's been the time of my life, yas.
Yas.
I lifted that from the Players Tribune article yesterday that went live.
Yas.
That was the closing part that Darby wrote there, but I can see him saying it in a promo as well, so I've put it in there.
Mm.
Darby then starts walking towards Sting to give him the microphone when twat! Sting drops him, and Sting's sons start putting the boots to Darby Allin. Because Sting's sons got beaten up by the Young Bucks, and Darby didn't do much to help.
He did nothing, did he?
Well, he got beaten up by the Bucks as well. But I expect more from Darby Allin. That's the sort of thing they'll do. But I think that Darby, Sting doing this, and then Sting's sons putting the boots to Darby, and the fact they are where they are, and it's a pay-per-view, it's Revolution, and it's hinting at maybe Sting not retiring, he won't get booed.
Yeah.
He'll get cheered. I'll be cheering. Sting's my boy.
I'll be cheering.
He's the reason I'm sat here today. He says, you think it's that easy? I've still got a lot left in the tank because, of course, I've got to make a Mark Henry reference here. Wembley Stadium, Derby, you little leech. It's showtime, biatch. That's the promo Sting cuts there. The only thing that is sure about Sting is that nothing's for sure. Mic drop, seek and destroy plays. I'm not ready for Sting to go in a tag team match. I want it to be a big singles bout. I want to have a bona fide pass of the torch moment, which of course they could still do in the tag team match after it's all said and done. I just don't want the Young Bucks to be tag team champions. That's the main genesis of this pitch here. But I think having Sting go out at Wembley, it just feels right to me, even though it does feel right happening this weekend as well.
Yeah.
It feels righter.
Yeah.
Right?
It does. I agree. You've had him do a Cody Rhodes there, put me boots down, and then I've had you. I really like that because I'm with you. Now, I know Sting in the past has said he doesn't want to have a singles match because, you know, he's getting on and he likes being in the tag team stuff, so he can sort of, you know, pick and choose when he does his spots and everything like that. But I think you're right. A passing of the torch moment, it feels right, doesn't it, for the fact that obviously you had the Flair and Sting match at Clash of the Champions, and that was the sort of moment there that really made Sting. And then to have that him do that for Derby, I think would be tremendous.
Yeah.
Too. And in Wembley, that would be like the coolest visual ever, I reckon.
Yeah.
So it's a yes from me.
I think, yeah, it's my pitch, but better. So so it's a yes for me. You've managed to...
I forgot a bit. He pronounces his name as Stone. Stone,
thank you. And then floats up to the rafters.
The go-home journey has just begun. Yeah.
I'm glad you referenced the Mark Henry promo, because I was hoping that was kind of what I was going for as well. I'm one short of busting out the salmon jacket. So yeah. No, I'm fully on board with that. I think it makes sense. I would rather Sting have a singles match to end his career with Derby. And I don't want to see the Bucks tag champs either. So,
it's what we want to happen. That's what the show's about. Because I can see the comments going, no! This is fine. It is fine. It would be better elsewhere. Right, Fraser, I'm scared, but round three.
It's not as silly, okay? I'm going with the TNT title match between Christian Cage and Daniel Garcia. Now, before the match, Matt Menard has been attacked backstage by the Patriarchy, so he's not at ringside on commentary for the title match. Now, it looks as if Christian Cage has Daniel Garcia beat and will walk out with the title because Garcia can't manage like Killswitch or Nick Wayne or Mother Wayne.
Shayna Wayne.
So he can't keep all them at bay. But then you think you know him, please. You get a bit of Adam Copeland get into the ring, and it looks like he's set to even up the numbers. He takes down Killswitch, takes down Nick Wayne, and then Shayna Wayne, it looks like he's going to go and attack her. Now she retreats up the ramp.
What?
And Christian Cage's music starts to play. Now, Christian is sort of distracted in the ring at this point. Christian's music begins to play, and out walks his father, Randy Rezzo. Okay?
That's no way that's his name.
That's his name. That is his name. Randy Rezzo.
That's a pornography man's name, right?
Right? I had to double check.
Can we have a little look at Randy Rezzo if there is a picture on
I want to see you, Big Rand.
Randy Rezzo. Now, there's not much known about Christian Cage's father, but it is his name.
Wow.
He's American.
No.
Yeah.
Is he?
He's like Chris Jericho.
Wait, but he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Well, he's born there, isn't he?
go on the elder images.
Randy Rezzo. There we go.
Randy Rezzo.
I don't know if there is a photo. I couldn't find one.
Keep talking, Fraser. We'll find it eventually.
Anyway, as his dad, Randy Rezzo, walks out on stage, who then spears Martha Wayne. Shayna Wayne, sorry.
Just off camera there, Joel has got a picture of Papa.
This has a same effect on Christian Cage as Harry Potter stabbing the diary in Chamber of Secrets does on Tom Riddle. Yeah, it's a niche, or it's not very niche.
It's not niche, it's just me not seeing.
Anyway, it's like destroying his whole life in the middle of that ring at that time. While this is happening, Daniel Garcia has recovered from all the attacks. He hits a kill switch on Christian Cage and manages to beat him for the TNT title. Christian Cage can't believe what's happened, sort of escapes up the ring to sort of have a word with his dad, who then slaps him across the face and tells him, his son, you're dead to me. Christian is embarrassed and in tears as his dad celebrates with his favorite son, Edge and Daniel Garcia. And then that's the TNT title passed on. Christian crying at the top of the ramp as his family is in tatters.
There's so much potential for this storyline. Learning that Christian's father obsession is because of his own daddy issues. It's like a Batman story.
Yeah, exactly what I'm going for.
It's a yes from me. Randy, who was spearing Shayna Wayne again? I forgot.
Oh, Randy Rezzo.
I'd assume Randy Rezzo would be 80 odd.
I was thinking 70s.
70s, yeah, 80, yeah. 60s.
It's 70s. Not a good spear.
It might be.
Well,
look at Sting. He's 65.
So he spears her at the top of the ramp, which causes Christian to sort of have a breakdown in the middle of the ring.
I kind of like the way that's been spinned on him instead. Yeah. Like the dad issues stuff there. Oh, that is intriguing.
I think it's by far your strongest pitch.
I would agree. That's why I kept it all.
I like that. I like that one a lot. So it gets a yes from me.
Thank you.
I reckon if he's like, right, if he is in his 70s or whatever, how old Samuel Jackson now? Because he's like in his 70s or 80s and he looks about 50.
What, because then he Christian's
can do the
dad...
spear. Can't he?
You're saying if Christian's dad's not free, just bring Samuel Jackson.
You could if you wanted to.
It's Randy Rezzo.
I like it. That was good.
Thank you.
Right. My final one is also about the Sting and Darby Allin one. Let's go on a ride, everybody. Let's go on a...
That means you've got a long one, everybody.
Let's go on a journey. It's not that long, all right? It's an overview of history for Sting. Right. Main event time is Sting and Darby Allin take on the Young Bucks in Sting's final match. Before the match, the traditional Darby Allin short movie plays, but it shows Sting and Darbs sitting in an empty cinema. The screen kicks into life and shows footage from throughout Sting's career. Thank you, WWE, for licensing it, obviously. Thanks very much. We see Sting and the Ultimate Warriors, the Blade Runners. We see Sting versus Vader, Muta, Luger, Hogan, and we see Sting and Flair in Greensboro. The camera cuts back to show Flair sat next to Sting and Darby in the seats, with a Nature Boy asking what time it is. Darby, in surface Sting paint, turns to the Stinger as Sting says for the final time, "It's showtime." Whoa. Whoa. I know, right?
Shamone.
We get the classic Sting music. So do you remember the turbocharged one? WCW
He's a
man one.
Named
it's like,
Sting.
Oh, that one.
That one, yeah. As Crow Sting and his grand red jacket, Surfer Darby and Ric Flair come down the aisle. Already in the ring are the Young Bucks, wearing gear, nodding to Hollywood Hogan and the NWO.
How have you got Ric Flair on Sting's side? That's a big...
I'm just saying. We don't know what's playing out, do we?
Well, he was in the locker room last week.
He was in the locker room, but what was being said? Who knows?
I want you to know, because he's walking out with Sting, and that's a shock.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? So the Young Bucks are wearing gear, nodding to Hollywood Hogan and the NWO, whilst also wearing their blood-splattered jackets. Disgusting. Then the announcer, the next match is for a one fall. Has a 30-minute time limit, and it's for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Now, Sting rolls back the years, as he has throughout his AEW run, so we get Stinger splashes, drop kicks, more chops than a butcher's window, everybody. The match rumbles on, each team taking their turn on the front and back foot. Eventually, Darby gets taken out to the floor, leaving Sting in the ring with Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. Sting woos one last time as Greensboro comes unhinged, but the Bucks hit him with an EVP trigger. One kick out at one. Are you mental? You certainly are, Sting. Sting rallies up once more as Darby gets to his feet, climbs the turnbuckle, and leaps back into the match and takes down the Bucks. Darby cactus clotheslines Matthew Jackson to the floor as Sting gets Nick up for the Scorpion Death Drop. Bang! Sting takes Nicholas down, but before he can go for the pin, the bell rings, everyone.
No.
The 30-minute time limit has expired. The match is a draw.
Boo!
The crowd boos. The crowd boos as Sting looks frustrated on his knees. The boos turn into woos, though, as Flair gets into the ring, yelling at Sting to get back on his feet and fight on. Flair grabs the mic and yells, "Sting, you son of a bitch! Are you going to go out on your knees? Think back to this very city. Clash of the Champions, 1988. Where is that Sting? That Sting that took the Nature Boy to the very limit and changed the course of wrestling history." Sting gets to his knees and comes face to face with Flair and beats his chest like a gorilla as Flair turns his attention to the Bucks. "I'm not having a repeat of 1988. You two have been throwing your weight around here. So if you have the power you say you do, then you'll restart this damn match." The crowd are going absolutely potty at this point as the Jacksons whisper to one another, turn to the timekeeper, and nod, with Justin Roberts announcing that there must be a winner. We get a few more minutes of action. The Bucks hitting Darby with an Indy Taker to take him out of the action and once again bring it down to Sting versus the Bucks. Matthew and Nicholas stand either side of a tired-looking Sting when suddenly Flair gets into the ring as the crowd starts murmuring a little bit. Mm-hmm. The Bucks hold up a too sweet as Ric Flair smiles.
Don't do it, Andrew.
Ric Flair instead raises those famous four fingers at the Jacksons as he and Sting unload chops into the Jacksons' chest one last time. Eventually, age gets the better of the WCW legends with Flair decked by Nicholas as Matthew superkicks Sting in the mush. Darby gets to his knees in time to see the Bucks crush Sting with a superkick party. 1, 2, 3. The Bucks are the tag team champions once more. Now the Jacksons lift their titles, give Sting a crotch chop, and make their way to the back. Darby, Sting, and an obviously bleeding Ric Flair, because of course he's bleeding, are left alone in the ring with Sting taking off his boots as the crowd give the icon a standing ovation. That's it.
If this was a predictions video, I'd be saying, Andrew, that's very clever, that.
Yeah.
I reckon that could happen. But this is what we want to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
I don't want to see the Young Bucks leave as champions.
You don't want to see them leave as champions?
Just based off that, I'm going to give you a heart of no.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair. My only thing was I was umming and ahhing whether to prolong Sting's final match. Because I know it's obviously been advertised as such as well.
It's wrestling.
It's wrestling. Exactly. It's wrestling. But I think maybe historically for him and for sort of everything that happened in his career at that match at Clash of Champions, I was like, I'll keep it here. I'll let it die here in a nice way. So that's what I went with.
If he's not doing a false retirement and staying on like our pitches, then as much as I don't want to see the Bucks wear the belts, I think that would probably be the best way to go about the whole situation and makes the Bucks even more hateable. So I'm going to give it a yes because I do kind of want to see certain aspects of that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go on then.
Not all of it though. I'm going to add some stakes to the Meat Madness match.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if I am. I just had to put the pun in there. As we're sat here currently on Wednesday morning before this week's Dynamite, it is just Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Lance Archer. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Brody King, Killswitch and John Silver added to make it a six pack of meaty sausages. Ooh. I also want to see the six lads just batter each other in a big stupid hoss-off, the only kind of hoss-off that massive meaty lads can do. We know what we're talking about here. At the end of this hoss-off, I'd like to see Wardlow win in dominant fashion. I don't care who takes the fall, just as long as Wardlow is the guy who's looking big and tall and strong and meaty at the end of the match. I thought he cut one hell of a promo, as we said earlier, on last week's Dynamite, where no lies were spotted. And because of that, when the rest of the Undisputed Kingdom come down to the ring to celebrate, because they're all doing sweet old bugger else on the card, I want to see Wardlow flatten them all. Kill them all! Don't kill, just punch them. But crucially, I want to see Adam Cole escape before Wardlow gets to him, mainly because he's injured and I don't want to see him more injured, but also because I want to create a sense of, ooh, I can't wait to see Wardlow when he gets his hands on that little prick. An eventual match between the pair will happen down the line. I'm pitching Wardlow to break away from this faction, which so far has been as generic as a slice of bread.
Yep.
That hasn't even been buttered nor toasted. Wardlow is more than just the henchman role he's been given in this group. And personally, I'm not a fan of the whole, if he wins the title, he's going to give it to me shtick that Adam Cole was peddling on the debut promo for the Undisputed Kingdom. Stop cooking my boy. I've ended this pitch with C-U-C-K-I-N-G, not cooking him because he's meat. Wardlow getting away from the Undisputed Kingdom after winning a big stupid hoss off. That's the final pitch. I know it's not the best.
No,
but it's what I want to happen.
It's the best thing to do to get Wardlow out of that faction that's doing nothing for him. And it seems like it just feels like they've done nothing.
They haven't done anything.
Even the Roderick Strong stuff, it's sort of just been like, oh, we'll have it at Revolution, where I think that's a yes from me because it gets him out with that, but also keeps him strong.
Yeah.
Now, my thing was I was going to maybe say no initially, because I was like, I do want to see Wardlow get the belt and then have the thing with Adam Cole where it's like, oh, will he pass the title or not? But I think you made a compelling point there where actually I kind of just want to see it happen. Like, because if they don't capitalize on that momentum and they just have Wardlow going off for ages being like, I'm going to get the belt and then I'm going to give it to you. And then it just loses any sort of sense of excitement, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But if Wardlow does exactly what he said last week and just goes straight for it, does it, breaks away, I think that would be much more impactful for him and his character rather than getting lost in the shuffle of some group again.
Yeah, and I'm thinking second half of this year, he's got to be contending, having at least one match for the world title.
Yeah.
Second half of this year, after Wembley's out the way and Swerve and Hangman have done
that. Yeah, definitely. I think we need to get there sooner rather than later.
This
so
is
your
the
pitch
last
does that.
Saloon, yeah.
Yeah, it does feel like that, doesn't it? Because now he's said everything that he said, it does feel like that if nothing gets capitalized on, then that might be it for him.
It just cut the same promo again and again and again every sort of 6 months when they've given up. Because it's the same story every time. Something always gets in the way, whether it's like just an injury or the MJF situation. There's other examples out there, but it needs to happen.
It does.
It does, but it just doesn't feel like the folk in the title contender picture, he can beat right now because of that faction. So yeah, it's sort of, it's a bit harsh.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it don't feel like almost like he should be in that picture either with what's going on at the moment.
No.
It's a strange one for him.
There's a secondary title or two he can go after.
That's true.
It's quite an essential weekend for him then to actually make sure that he comes out strong and
big time.
Yeah, it would be quite an essential weekend. But there we go. That's our 9 pitches for Revolution 2024. Let us know what your pitches are down below in the comments section. How are you feeling towards the event itself, lads? Are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it'll be me and Tom on reactions this weekend. Our predictions will be out on the channel tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. It's been the first... we've not had a pay-per-view since January. Yeah, January, start of January. Mm. I'm very hyped for it.
World's End,
so start of the end
of
December.
Was it New Year's Eve?
Yeah. What won it? I'm looking forward to it. At first, I was like, oh, the card's not that big. And then I looked on Wikipedia, it's already nine matches. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, we've still got 2-3 more shows to go before.
I hope it doesn't get to 14, 15 like it normally does. The Sting should be given an hour.
It's quite strong as it is now. Yeah. So I'd kind of leave it at that. I'm excited to see Roddy Strong take that title off Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
And then the Undisputed King will stand.
Black t-shirts. That's the one.
Looking hard and bland. Yes. I think it's got the Sheamus for a very good card.
Yeah.
And he's got the right mix of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that's a good way of putting it.
That's analysis, right? That's it for the pitches video. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time for WrestleMania pitches.
Bloody hell.
Woo!
Why is it spooky? Why is it spooky? Woo! What does that mean?
I don't know.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.